All right, y'all. Thanks for being here for another episode of Ball Don't Lie. I'm Cole Pauly.
I'm Caleb Jacana.
We're super pumped to be here this week. Another week to talk about the playoffs. There's a ton going on right now. We're going to play a little game later. We're going to talk about the clutch factor. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. You know, we said we were going to keep an eye out for Swaggy P this week. I didn't see any more stuff on the fashion runway from Swaggy. Did you catch anything?
No, I didn't catch anything. Nothing, you know, he had
nothing as good as the robe from game one.
I think he topped himself right there. It's going to be hard to outdo that one.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what you're going to get from Swaggy P, but yeah, I didn't see anything that we could talk about from him, which is a little odd, you know. I expected him to come with something. I expected him to at least come with something, but I figured the next best thing we could talk about, since there was nothing good with Swaggy, is Lance Stephenson.
Yeah.
Always something to talk about with him. Did you see that? The technical last night, like he's trying to follow LeBron to the huddle or whatever.
Yeah. he's perfect because, like, he's like the perfect entertainment for this basketball game because he's not fouling LeBron. He's not doing anything that's necessarily breaking the rules, but it's causing LeBron to act out of character in ways, you know, getting texts, shoving people. And I mean, if I was LeBron, I'd probably do the same thing if someone kept on nagging me like that, you know, like, I don't even have a ball and this guy's like denying me. Like,
yeah.
He's all up in my face. Like, of course I'm going to shove back. So, I mean, it's working. But yeah, LeBron's acting like any other person would. So
yeah,
it's just funny.
Yeah. And the technical, like, LeBron's like going back over to their bench. Lance is like right up on him. And LeBron kind of like barely touches it, like barely kind of moves him away. Lance goes completely out of the camera frame. It's like, where did he even go? He goes completely out of frame.
It's like anytime LeBron touches this guy, it's like a grenade exploded or something, and Lance just flies like 6 feet back. And then he looks for the foul. And I'm like,
that happened like two or three times over the course of the game. Like,
yeah.
Just like the way he goes down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's something else. Did you see what he did with Jeff Green?
It's like a wrestling match on the floor.
Some pundits were like, this isn't the WWE. Like, hey, man, he just grabbed a ball and went for it.
Yeah.
To fall to the ground.
No, I can't. I can't fault him for that. Lance makes everything so entertaining. Like,
oh, yeah.
I heard somebody on ESPN talking about like how the whole Pacers and Cavs game had been so entertaining, and then Lance came out for a few minutes during the fourth, and they were suddenly wondering to themselves, why is this game so boring? And then Lance came back in, and it was like, oh, that's it. That's what it is.
Lance adds adds to the dynamic of the game. It's ridiculous. Like, he's just so, like, him and his shenanigans, they can be over the top, but they're hilarious for the viewer, and that's what the viewer wants to see.
Yeah.
Stuff that's entertaining.
Yeah. Other than the best players in the playoffs, I feel like Lance is the only one that's up there with the best players in the playoffs as far as the most entertaining. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's like most entertaining. It's like probably LeBron, Anthony Davis, you know, James Harden's entertaining. Lance Stephenson right there for an entertainment value.
I would have Lance just like on my team just to annoy people because he's good at it. He's really good at it.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't get any calls. Like, you know, it's not like he's getting texts or fouls for it. He's just being annoying, and it works. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it works. And going straight into it, I was just going to say, yesterday I went all the way down to San Antonio, probably woke up at about 5:30 a.m. all the way to San Antonio, all the way back and everything in one day. Saw the Spurs get a W over Golden State. It was fantastic. Loved it. But I need you to update me. I need you to update me on what was going on in the playoffs, because I missed a few games and everything over the weekend. I didn't even really see the entire Cavs Pacers game. But update me, dude. What was the best stuff I missed?
Best stuff. One of the more competitive games was the Washington Toronto game, because I mean, they were up 2-0 literally two games, and now it's 2-2.
Yeah.
Especially last night, because Bradley Beal fouled out. I don't know if you saw. He fouled out on a. it was not a foul. It was not a foul, to say the least.
Really?
But they called a foul.
I didn't see the play.
Basically, I don't know who it was, but like someone had got the ball, and essentially Bradley Beal just stood like straight up, and the guy like backed into him, and Bradley Beal fell over, trying to draw a foul, and he got called for the foul. So he was off the floor, and then John Wall, he surprised me, iced the game. I didn't think he'd be able to do that with Bradley Beal off the floor, but he came in. He had like 27 points, like 14 assists, and like 8 rebounds and 3. He balled out.
Huge game,
So that was a good game to watch.
Right, right. And home court is, even going back to last year, home court has been huge for Washington. They won in the conference semifinals last year. I remember they won all their home games against Boston. The home team won every game of that series. Mm-hmm. Washington's pretty good at home. And people were kind of writing them off after the first two games. Now they're back in it. Kind of same thing with Milwaukee, too. And I know that game was pretty competitive.
Yeah, it was really competitive. Milwaukee finally found a way to, I don't know. I guess, Marquise Morris wasn't as effective as he was in the first two games. I think they started putting Giannis on him.
Right.
And Giannis is obviously, he's a really good defender. And then Giannis balled out, obviously, too. He shot 12 of 20. And the majority of his points still came in the paint. I still don't understand how people... I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's just that good.
In transition, he's really one of the best in the league in transition. I mean, Westbrook, LeBron. Mm-hmm. But Giannis is right there. I mean, going in transition, he's extremely hard to stop, definitely.
Yeah. And I think what also factored into their win was they started hitting outside shots, Milwaukee, which forced the Celtics to stop packing the paint every time someone drove. Because when they drive, they just kick it out. Brogdon started hitting threes. You know, Middleton, obviously, he can hit threes. Eric Bledsoe, even though he didn't play that well, he played better in the latter half of the game. You know, even though he, I don't know if you saw that quote about him and Terry Rozier.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, who
is that?
The expletive is Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, so he finally showed up, and I think it's just because it's Eric Bledsoe's his first time in the playoffs, so it's, I believe it's his first time. I don't know if he was with the Clippers, but
with the Clippers. It's definitely his first time, like, as a starter, as one of the main players on the team, for sure.
So he's finally getting over those little jitters, and Giannis just, he's just, I don't know, that guy's ridiculous, man. He's only 23, and that guy's absurd. You can't really stop him. You just got to hope the other team doesn't help. His teammates don't help him, really.
Right. What do you feel for Boston and Milwaukee going forward? Do you feel like Milwaukee has the momentum now? You think they're more the favorite to take the series, or you kind of think the home court dominance is going to keep going?
I think Milwaukee's going to win. I had him winning in the beginning before the series even started, just because Gordon and Kyrie were gone. But I think they're finally starting to find a way to attack Brad Stevens' defense.
Right.
Even though last game came literally up to like a last second put back by Giannis tapping on a layup by Brogdon that he missed. But I think they'll make the adjustments, and they obviously, like you said, they have the momentum. They've won two games straight, and I still expect them to win just because they're more talented, more athletic, and they should win. They just should, you know?
Right. So. Yeah, I agree as far as we've talked about this week's past. I mean, the talent that they have compared to the decimated roster of Boston, it should be Milwaukee's time to step up. I kind of think that home court is going to keep playing a large factor, and I originally picked Boston in 7, so I'm going to stick to that. But I still anticipate it being a very close series. And, I mean, if it's Milwaukee's time to step up, I mean, I definitely wouldn't be surprised at all, because I really thought this would be one of the most competitive series. And speaking of kind of the opposite of a competitive series, one of the best things I saw over the weekend was the Pelicans finishing the Blazers. And now, Damian Lillard is one of my favorite players in the league. I really love and respect Damian. I always personally like root for him to do well. I always want what's best for Lillard. But the Pels played so well in this series. Their backcourt stepped it to a whole new level. I've just been probably the most impressed I've been with any team in the playoffs. And they're the only sweep of the first round.
Yeah.
It's for sure now. Mm-hmm. Not even the Warriors, Rockets, nobody else is going to sweep besides the Pelicans, and they're the first 6 seed to ever sweep a 3 seed in the NBA playoffs. They have stepped it to a whole new level that I never expected.
Yeah, and imagine if Boogie was there.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, now that they're playing so well, it'll kind of be the questions about, well, are they better without Boogie, maybe?
Yeah, those questions will
start. Is the pace, because, I mean, they've been really, really getting it up and down the floor.
Mm, Boogie slows it down a little bit.
A little, but I still agree with you. I mean, you add that type of an all-star talent, probably the best post-up scorer in the league for Boogie. Mm-hmm. It would be really scary. But they're still really, really good right now. 40 apiece from AD and Drew Holiday to close it out. I mean, AD was up there, I think, 47 points, something mm-hmm. like that. Drew Holiday, 41.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know how they said playoff P, man? Playoff yeah. Rondo.
Playoff Rondo,
that's what
absolutely.
They need to call it, playoff Rondo. That guy, when the playoffs roll around, I know he's – everywhere he's gone, he's actually played really well. It's just he's had he butts heads with people because he's yep. he's stubborn. It's just the way he is. I don't know why. But when he gets in the playoffs, man, that guy's real, especially now that he has his backcourt with Drew. And Drew, this, I did not expect 40 points from Drew. I also didn't expect him to play defense well.
Yeah, his
against
defense.
Against that backcourt.
Wow, yeah. He and Rondo totally yeah. locked down CJ and Damian.
Yeah, I think, but that's a little bit of an indictment on the Blazers organization for them. I feel like they're being content with just having CJ and Dame and saying, this is fine. This is enough.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And we may see changes coming. I actually saw that Terry Stotts may be on the hot seat. Now, that's what a four-game sweep, being a three seed, that's what it'll do. It'll mm-hmm. put your coach directly on the hot seat out yeah. of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, you're a third seed in the West, and you get swept by the sixth, and the sixth seed doesn't have their full strength. Yeah, full strength.
Not even arguably their best player, or at least second
yeah.
best.
So, I mean, that's what I was saying. It's like, the Blazers are really good, but the one thing is, like, all you have to do is stop two people on that team.
Falls apart after that.
And you'll win. I mean, so I'm like, I knew Rondo was going to play defense. It's just Drew surprised me. I saw statistically, like, against Drew, Damian was shooting like 35% or something. It was awful. I was yeah. like, okay, Drew. I didn't see that from you, but hey, okay. Yeah.
Really bad series by the Trailblazers and mm-hmm. a really, really great series by the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, too, just since I haven't mentioned anything about the Spurs and Warriors yet, obviously Spurs came away with a big-time win in Game 4. Mm-hmm. And I feel like kind of the vibe is that the Warriors let one get away from them on the road, and they're going to go back home and finish the series in Game 5. That's kind of the vibe I get, at least kind of media opinions and things like that. But mm-hmm. now I'm not calling it or anything. I'm not calling a 3-0 comeback. Oh. I'm not going that far. But here's what I'm going to say. The Golden State may very well go back in Game 5. They're very tough to play at Oracle Arena for anyone. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty dominant at home in this series in Game 1 and 2. And I would not be shocked to see them close the door, slam the door right there at home, finishing mm-hmm. Game 5. But they better do that. I'm telling mm-hmm. you, they better take care of business in Game 5. If the Spurs are able to carry this momentum, and the Spurs have played, but anyone would say this, not just a Spurs fan like me, but they've played better each game of the series. They've yeah. improved each game, and especially in Game 4, it really looked like they figured some things out offensively. Mm-hmm. And if they are able to carry over that momentum, and if they somehow scrap and find a way to get Game 5 at Oracle, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be a real series. If they get it back to San Antonio for Game 6, it's going to get really real, and the pressure is going to get really real for Golden State. People won't be talking about Pelicans and Warriors and all what the next series is.
Yeah.
If the Spurs are able to grab Game 5, that's all I'm going to say.
I mean, hey, I agree with you there to an extent. But I do agree with you. If they don't close this game out in Oracle, that it's going to go to 7.
I think so, too.
It will go to 7. I'll still take Golden State, but it will go to 7.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, yeah, I just think – they have an opportunity to slam the door right here, and one loss is not really that big of a deal, and I feel like that's the mm-hmm. way people feel right now, and it may not be that big of a deal. But if they don't take that opportunity to slam the door, it's going to get tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and they're also, I mean, our thoughts and prayers obviously go out to Greg Popovich, but I feel like the Spurs have something else to play for now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something I wanted to mention, too, definitely, with Greg Popovich, with the loss of his wife, Erin. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to coach Game 5 now. He hasn't coached since that news came, and mm-hmm. understandably so. And I know everyone across the league, feels really, felt really deeply about that. And a lot of players and coaches around the league, express their sentiments about that. And definitely all thoughts and prayers are with Greg Popovich and his family and the Spurs family during yeah. this time.
Yeah.
So moving on from that topic, we're going to get into a little word association game. And we're going to call it word association. That's how creative we are here at Ball Don't Lie.
Creative director right here.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been called a creative genius in my time.
Like Kanye, man.
Exactly like Kanye. Exactly like that. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to give Caleb some NBA-related words. A few teams. We're going to start off with a few teams, and he's going to tell me the first thing that he thinks, the first word that comes to his mind when he thinks about that team. And then we're going to get into a few other basketball-related words or adjectives to describe players, and he's going to tell me the first player that pops into his mind. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's go, baby.
All right, so teams. I'm going to say the team. You tell me the first thing that pops in your mind. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Old. Well,
old.
To an extent.
That's the first thing that comes to your mind. I understand it. You can explain yourself.
Okay, when I say old, I'm thinking, with their new acquisitions, you could say young and inexperienced. But
got a little younger. I mean, but yeah. George Hill's an older, experienced player. Yeah,
but I feel like the guys that are making it, well, okay. My point was when I think of the Cavs, I think of LeBron,
JR,
Korver. I think of Jeff Green. I think of, wow.
Tristan Thompson, maybe.
Yeah. Those are the guys that have actually been playing well, like Korver, Green, like George Hill. Those are the guys that have actually been playing well, but they're experienced in this league. They're a little bit older. So that's why when I think of the Cavs, I think of old.
And they've been around. I mean,
and LeBron's old, too. He's just playing at such a high level. He doesn't look
it
old.
Doesn't seem like
it. But he's 33. 32?
Yeah. 33, I believe.
Yeah,
he's in his 15th season. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 33. So, like, he is old. He just doesn't play like he's old. So.
No, his hair kind of.
Yeah, his hair. Hey, that hairline. It's way back. Fade away.
Oh, boy. Yeah, every time he's shooting a free throw or something and you can see, like, the top of his head, I'm like, oh, no.
I know. It's funny. Cause
he's trying to hang on.
But it's, like, thick on the sides and then down the middle is a.
Ooh.
So it's a little
it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Yeah, it's probably stress of playing in the league for that long.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, he's had
he's
a bit of stress.
Yeah, he's got some stress in his life.
All right. Okay. Next one. Toronto Raptors.
Is it a word or can I have a sentence?
Go whatever came straight to your mind.
Not going anywhere. That's what came to my mind. Couldn't think of a word that summed that up, but that's
right.
My thought
just
is not
dead in the water.
Anywhere. Like when I say not going anywhere, they probably will get to the conference finals. Well, actually, no, I don't think they will. I think they'll get kicked out in the second round because I think Philly's better than them, in my opinion. I think Philly would beat them. But I mean, like you said, in the regular season, 57 wins, most wins in the franchise ever. First time they locked up the first seed in the East. Everything looks great, but when it comes down to it, when they got to beat Philly or Cleveland, I don't think it's gonna happen. They haven't shown me any reason to believe so.
No,
so.
I totally agree with you. And yeah. I mean, best indicator of what's gonna happen in the future is the past.
Yeah,
and so. we look back to playoffs past that just speaks for itself. So I totally agree with you there.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Utah Jazz.
Young, but don't have enough help. I mean, I can't think of a word.
Right, not enough star power.
But, yeah.
I got you.
They're fairly young with, you know, obviously Donovan Mitchell leading. I mean, a rookie is essentially leading their team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no doubt.
Like, if Donovan doesn't do what Donovan does, like, they're not going anywhere.
Now, Ricky Rubio, game three, huge game.
That's true.
And I'm sure you saw Westbrook was like, he's going
to
shut that down.
Yeah, he better shut that down. Ricky Rubio dropped 26. Get out of here.
Triple double.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Yeah, he better shut that down.
They're a scrappy team, Utah. Good team.
They're a good little team. I didn't think they were going to win last week, but they did, so I don't even know. Well, I'll let y'all know when the series is over.
Okay. All right. To be determined. Okay. Next team, New Orleans Pelicans.
Surprising.
Surprising. Good one.
That's,
good one.
That's all I can say. It's just surprising. Like we said earlier, it swept a third seed, and they weren't even full power. And then who surprised me the most, I mean, I'm not surprised Anthony Davis had 47 sure. and 11.
No, that's what he does.
He's doing that through all the regular season. And I'm not surprised Rondo had 18 assists because he does it all the time.
And that's what he does, especially in the playoffs, yeah.
It was Drew Holiday who surprised me, especially on the defensive side, as I said earlier. Just it was surprising. I did not see that coming.
Okay, last team, Philadelphia 76ers.
What's that song? I forgot the girl's name, but it's like, I may be young, but I'm ready. That's what the Philly 76ers
are. That's a good,
are,
yeah.
They're young, but they're ready. They're ready to go. Ben Simmons is ready. Joel Embiid is ready. I mean, I don't know if you saw the last game.
On Saturday, I did. Yeah. I saw like the fourth quarter. I saw Simmons down the lane with the dunk close to the end. I saw D Wade literally putting the heat on his back.
Oh yeah,
didn't finish with the win. Obviously, yeah. Sixers came out with the win on the road, which is huge. D Wade was putting Miami on his back.
Oh yeah, I was surprised. I didn't expect to see that again. But hey, I should never second guess D Wade. He's D Wade, but. The 76ers, they're a fairly young team. Well, their stars are young. That's a more accurate statement. They got some older players with playoff experience on their team. But the guys who are essentially running the team are younger players, but they look ready to me. I mean, no one can stop Ben. They've thrown Justice. They've thrown James Johnson. They've thrown Josh Richardson. Those are
good
three
defenders.
Really good defenders. Like,
absolutely.
Anybody would be happy to have those defenders on their team. And Ben is doing what he wants, and I don't think there's anyone that can stop Joel. Joel's Joel. Dude's ridiculous, man. He's like 7 foot, 280. You just got to let it happen.
They might be. They very well might be ready, and I feel like there's a lot of feelings out there that are agreeing with you. I feel like a lot of people agree with that. So, part two of the word association segment, I'm going to give him some words. A player describing word, and he's going to tell me the first player that comes to his mind when I say this word.
All right? Yeah.
Dominant.
I hate to say it, but LeBron.
I figured. That was kind of the first thing that pops into my mind. I just wanted to know who came to your mind first.
I mean, I'd love to say Russ, but in these playoffs, like, someone who's been dominant is just LeBron. Like, the second game where he went out and dropped, I think it was 16 in the first quarter. He had 46 at the end of the night, 46, 12, and 5. Like, that's just dominance at its finest.
he's LeBron. That's what he does. He is dominant. Mm-hmm. Okay. Low block.
I'm going to give it to, I said earlier, I'll give it to Joel. Yeah, I don't see anyone stop. The only one that might give him trouble, and that's just because he's as good as it, if not better than him, at the same thing as DeMarcus. But yeah. I feel like that'd be a recipe for disaster if those two were going at each other.
Yeah, that would probably be interesting. That'd be good TV.
Yeah, but yeah, low block, just give it to Joel under there, under on the block, and he can hit pretty much anything under the rim.
That's
five
fair.
5 feet in, yeah.
That's fair. He's a great post up player. All right, next up, sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter? I'm gonna give it to Kyle Korver.
Korver, that's first name pops up.
Yeah.
That's what he gets paid to do since he's been in this league.
Yeah. I saw the last game was it last game or the game before that one? I think it might have been game two where he shot 4 of 8. He took 8 shots and all of them were threes, and most of them were him just like running off a screen,
that's
catching it midway through his jump, and then just like letting it go. And I'm
that's where Kyle Korver makes his living.
Yeah. So it was it's something. It's beautiful to see. It's just like how.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best as far as, I mean, somebody who just a pure shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, running off screens, catching and shooting. That's his game. That's always going to be his game. I kind of thought you were going to say Curry or Thompson, but
I don't want to say Thompson, but I don't know why Kyle just kind of popped in my head.
No, Korver, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. Gritty.
Gritty. Ooh. Gritty. I'm gonna go with Justice Winslow right now.
Winslow.
A little gritty guy, yeah.
He is. I like that choice.
He's a like when I saw him, I knew he was a good defender, but. Like, seeing him play like against Ben, who's got six. I don't know how it's just. He's probably 6'6". I don't know.
He's
got inches on him. Ben's got a nice height advantage, but he's. I mean, Ben's still getting his, but it's not easy. He's still making it pretty difficult.
Yeah, Winslow is a gritty player. That's a good choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you watch the Philly and Miami series, mm-hmm. Winslow has really come out and made a pretty big impact on that series, even though they're down in the series right now. Yeah. He's played well, and he's a gritty defender. He's a gritty player. Okay. Next one up, we'll probably get a couple more in here. Next one up, Smart.
Smart. Smart. I'm going to go with Oladipo.
Oladipo.
Yeah, it's kind of okay. It's a little bit out of left field, but I'm going to go with Oladipo. He's been playing smart in a sense of, I would say, shot selection and taking advantage of who's on him, especially like when LeBron was on him. He's a little bit too fast. He's a little bit too fast because LeBron, I mean, he's 33 years old, so he can't keep up with Victor. Victor's a young buck right now.
Of course.
And he's really explosive. That's why when Victor was in OKC, I used to call Victor and Russ the Bounce Bros.
The Bounce Bros. That's a good one.
But now he's gone, so I can't really Bounce Bros. But
yeah, Bounce Bros are broken up.
Yeah, who do you think is smart? What comes to your mind?
Right to my mind would have been Chris Paul.
That's a really good pick, yeah.
Just because of that's who he is. He's a floor general, who I've always kind of thought of as somebody who has a high basketball IQ. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good answers to that question, but right what pops to my head is Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So I'll give you one more. Let's see which one I want to go with here. Okay. Clutch.
I'm going to give it to... Y'all going to think I'm biased. But I'm going to give it to my boy Russ.
Not biased at all.
I'm going to give it to my boy Russ, man. He had a lot of clutch shots. I mean, he's clutch in the sense of he's not afraid to take the shot. He's never afraid.
That's something I would never deny, even though I'm not a Russ fan. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to take the shot. He wants the shot.
Yeah, he's, give me the ball. I'll take us there. That's
he may even airball it. Who knows?
He may airball it. I have seen my fair share of airballs in clutch situations, but he's clutch in a sense. He's not afraid to take the shot. And he's made his fair share of clutch shots, especially if y'all watched him last season. It was literally, he probably hit like five or six game winners last season when it was just him on the team pretty much.
And he had the one that one against Denver that was at the end of the season. Yeah, it was like his...
Where he got the 42nd triple-double season. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that one was... that one was amazing. I remember watching that live. He's probably 6 feet behind the three-point line in the left corner and just jacks it up at the last possible second. He's one of the more clutch people. But I think... Besides Russ, my unbiased opinion would probably be, I think I'd give it to Kyrie.
That's a good one.
He's
proved it. I mean, literally the biggest stage. Couldn't be a bigger stage.
The biggest stage in the biggest game possible in the corner. Dude is ridiculous. He's one of the most clutch players I've probably seen. Just because he can get his own shot on whoever, whenever.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I would have to agree with that. And I was going to ask you, though, like, what makes a clutch player to you? Like, is it somebody who makes that big shot in that big moment, somebody like Kyrie, or do you think of it more as someone who consistently shows up in the big playoff games, you know, over the course of the game? You know, like, what is it that signals clutch to you? I feel like for a lot of people, they think of clutch factor with the game winning shots. Is that kind of how you see it?
To an extent, I mean, making the game winning shot, but I'll give it to LeBron. He gets a lot of flack because he won't take the game-winning shot, but he makes the right play. Does that make sense?
No, that's a big point. Yeah. That's a big point with LeBron. I mean, over the years, especially kind of later in his career, once he was with Miami and these last several years, he's had a lot of big games in big games, in the big situations late in the playoffs, NBA Finals, all that. But he's just never in his career been the guy, other than outside of a couple of big moments that he's had, big shots that he's hit. He's not known as that guy that's going to hit that shot at the end of the game. And there's a large contingency out there that say he's not a clutch player because he doesn't have the clutch gene, quote unquote, because of that. Yeah. I don't know how you necessarily see it.
I mean, like, I guess I can understand like why people would be like, oh, he's not clutch because he's not taking the shot. It's almost like he's looking to find someone instead of saying, you know, like, get out of the way.
Right.
I'm
like Kobe mentality. Yeah.
Yeah, like Mamba mentality, like, just get out the way, bro. Like, I'm going to do it. Like, and he's not one to do that. And that's my one knock against Russ is, like, that's what the mentality that Russ has, like, just get out of the way. I'm gonna put the bucket in. But I wish sometimes he would make the right play.
Right.
Because, you know, you're more like, especially, like, if I'm trying to guard Russ, he's probably not, I mean, I've seen him pass it a few times, but the majority of the time he's probably going to keep it.
Sure.
The shot.
Yeah, and I think, like, for me, I would say, like, I feel like you have to have kind of that combination of those two, of LeBron and Westbrook. Like, Westbrook's somebody who's always going to, nearly always going to take command and take that shot.
Yeah.
And then there's LeBron, who at times I felt, even though he wants to make the right play and he is a great facilitator, at times he's been a little bit too passive in the big moments. He's looking, he's looking more to pass than he is looking to be the one to make that shot. I feel like you got to meet it right in the middle. Like somebody, for me, kind of a homer choice again, but somebody for me who has always done that is Manu Ginobili.
Oh, yeah.
He, to me, is kind of the perfect mix of, he doesn't have hero mentality too much where he's trying to take that shot every time. But if you put the ball in his hands, usually something good is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Down the stretch of a game, I totally trust him to either make that attack and make that pass, attack and shoot the shot and make the shot. If he has that opportunity, he'll definitely look to be aggressive. I feel like he's one of those players that's a perfect in between. I would say kind of the same thing about Kyrie. He's always shown up in big games, and when it's a big moment, you know, I feel like he kind of has that in between quality too.
Yeah, I think that Ginobili is one of the more underrated clutch players, I think, that we've seen.
Definitely.
Like you are totally right when you say that, like, he makes the right decision. And usually, I mean, usually the right decision usually goes pretty well for the Spurs, seeing as they have 5 rings, I believe.
Yeah. That's resulted in rings. Yeah.
Yeah. So, he's one of the more underrated clutch players. A lot of people don't like. I don't hear a lot of people defining him as clutch, but he is pretty clutch. I've witnessed him decimate.
Literally in your face on OKC. Yeah.
Yes, I've witnessed him be clutch against one of my favorite teams. he is clutch. That's. That's not a homer pick. That's
I appreciate
smart basketball
that.
Right there.
I appreciate that. So that's about all we got this week. We're going to obviously have all our attention on the playoffs as we keep going. We're going to be real close to the end of round one, if not possibly into round two by our next episode. That's going to be a lot of fun to talk about.